Good evening, welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council. It's Tuesday, August 3rd, 2021, 7:02 p.m. here in the Rotunda. Would all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, the clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Present.
Mr. Grau. Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert. Mr. Waldron.
Present. Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron informed us that they would not be attending this meeting this evening. With five, we do have a quorum, so we can proceed with our full council agenda. Seeking approval of the minutes for June 1st, 2021. If there's no comments from council, the minutes will stand approved. Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. First public comment, we have one name previously signed up, and then anyone else in the room would like to speak on any topic. First speaker this evening is Artie Caratola. And as a reminder, you can give your name and address for the record and proceed with your comments with a 5-minute time limit. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'm glad to be here, glad you're all here, and that we're back to being able to see each other again. That's a definite plus. I mean, like, social distancing is one thing, wearing masks if you're too close, that's cool. But, you know, I mean, like, a police officer pulled me over just the other day and said, "I smell alcohol in your breath." They said, "Officer, you're not practicing social distancing." But anyway, I'm running for the mayor of this city too, but elected, if I'm elected, I will do everything I can to make this city really happen. But there are things we need to do to make this city better. I am running as a write-in. No Democratic or Republican, they just keep on going after each other's throats. I don't want that. But anyway, I probably won't get elected because I'm a write-in, you know. But the thing is, if I do, I will, you know, believe me, things will be happening. One thing that really, really sets me, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, like, really, I could be here till midnight trying to get things together here. But we don't have that long. I only got, like, 3 minutes, practically. So the thing is, one thing I talked to the parking authority about, our beloved parking authority that keeps getting $20 tickets out of us, but if we fall in their parking lots, we can't go ahead and get, if we're injured, we can't get money from them. And the thing is, that's a known fact. I, for one, and other people have the same situation. Okay, the thing is, the head of the parking authority said, "City Council makes the laws for the thing. I gotta present this to City Council, so I'm presenting it to City Council, and really, it should be voted on for all the people in general. We should put our names on, put the thing in, if it goes or not. I say one thing needs to go. We do not need to have parking removal Thursdays and Fridays. Most of us people have to clean up our own streets and sidewalks. Why do the other people have to have this privilege that they have this happen? Why can't they put them in bins and then the city comes by and takes the trees away and gives more parking? Because there's no parking. You go around where I'm at on 813 Lawford Street, you will not find parking at all around 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Not within a 4 or 5 block radius or more. You will not find parking. Now the thing is, this got to be eliminated. The no parking thing, that's a joke. That's just to put money in the pocket of the parking. It's a trap for the taxpayers to pay more money. And that's not what we should be about. We're the city of Bethlehem. That's reinforce it by calling it the Christmas city. Now, we're supposed to be an example, according to the Bible. We're going to the Bible here. We're the city of Bethlehem, the city that Christ was born into. We should be above all things to be an example to other cities in the United States. I'm going to make for a motion that these Thursday and Friday things be removed for the parking thing, because it's just a nuisance It's needless. It's basically harassment and gouging the citizens for money that they should not have to be paying. And however, like I said, the parking authority, head of the parking authority told me I need to present it to city council. I'm doing this. I'm putting a motion for this to be removed to make our city better. Get rid of that parking thing on the south side of Thursdays and Fridays. Make it so that people can park. There's a lot of other issues that need to be addressed. And there's a lot of things I can't talk about in 40 seconds. So really, all I gotta say is, hope you do the right thing. Make this thing voted on by the people in general. Everybody that's here, that comes to the meeting, could vote to have it removed or not. Not that it's something because of your political politics or anything of that nature. You got to push this aside and think what's right for the people on every law that's passed here in the city. What's right for the people, because greater cities equal a greater USA. God bless.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening? Moving to second public comment on any resolution or ordinance on tonight's agenda. Would anyone in the room like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? Moving to communication 6A.
A memorandum from Lenny Lazarchak, Director of Financial Services, with a records destruction request with an attached list of records proposed for destruction.
The resolution will be on the August 17th council agenda. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson in connection with an attached proposed ordinance for the vacation of portions of Luna and Bushkill Streets in the City of Bethlehem, 14th Ward.
Bill 24 is on tonight's agenda as item 9B, communication 6C.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement between the City and Steel Pub LLC in connection with the August 29th Daniel Roebuck Channel of Peace benefit located at First Street from Polk Street to the entrance of Steel Ice parking lot.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda, communication 6D.
A memorandum from Alicia Miller-Carner, Director of Community and Economic Development, providing background on the proposed South Side Affordable Housing LERTA Zone.
This is for information only. Moving to reports. I have no reports this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Just one report, Mr. President. I just want to commend ArtsQuest, Cassie Hilgert, and her team, and all the city departments. We work very well. We meet monthly for the most part. And all the various governmental agencies from the state, county, and the federal level. And so we are prepared for a 10-day festival. Hopefully we'll have great weather. And looking forward to the kickoff, the official kickoff on Friday. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving to ordinances for final passage, ordinance 8A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 General Fund Budget, Bill 2020-21, is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Ms. Negron.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Ordinance 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Golf Course Enterprise Fund Budget for 2021. Bill 21-2021 is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Grum.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. Ordinance 8C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2021 Liquid Fuels Fund Budget. Bill 22-2021 is sponsored by Dr. Van Wert and Mr. Grom.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-0. New ordinances, ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 913 of the City of Bethlehem Codified Ordinances titled Water Rates and Charges, Bill 23-2021, is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Ordinance 9B.
An ordinance authorizing the vacation, discontinuance, and striking from the city's general plan of an unopened portion of Luna Street and an unopened portion of Bushgill Street in the 14th Ward of the City of Bethlehem, County of Northampton, Pennsylvania. Bill 24-2021 is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Ordinance 9C.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Part 13 of the codified ordinances relating to zoning with respect to the properties in the OMU district by amending Section 1311A through B pertaining to the configuration of off-street parking and driveway access onto arterial streets, and Section 1314.02B5 to lessen the minimum rear yard setback. Bill 16-2021 is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Mr. Waldron.
Discussion? Mr. Callahan?
I just want to thank everybody for, putting their best foot forward on this. I especially want to thank Councilman Cologne for coming up with the amendment to come up with, what I think is a very fair amendment and, a way to resolve this issue. It really should have been fixed and done years ago when prior councils passed the zoning on the tower site. It should have been handled back then. It wasn't. It was something that was overlooked on our part. And, I don't think we really should have gotten to the point that we did here. This is going to be a great development project for the city. And for the school district and for the county as far as taxes, tax revenues coming in. And, I can honestly tell you we were on the brink of that getting pulled and that development, sitting there for another 5 years. And so, I want to thank, Mr. Cologne for his amendment, and I also want to thank Mr. Reynolds for his looking forward in this and also doing the right thing for this project and for the city of Bethlehem. So, and I appreciate his guidance on this also. So, thank you very much.
Ms. Ramsey Smith and then Mr. Cologne.
I just want to say that I do really appreciate Councilman Cologne's efforts to try to come up with a compromise with the amendment, and I appreciate the developer presenting the plan at the last meeting to give us an idea what the development will look like. I really thought long and hard about this amendment, and as I've said before, I definitely, am for development, but I want it to be smart development, and I think it's really important when we consider that we're actually changing an existing law that was written because we felt it was written for a good and smart development purpose at the time. And while I did consider the amendment, I deferred to the comments of Becky Bradley from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission at the last meeting when she noted that she feels strongly that this amendment is not in alignment with the future Lehigh Valley plan, which is the, best practices plan of development in Lehigh Valley. And for that reason, and for other reasons, I will not be supporting this amendment tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. I will be supporting this tonight. I wasn't here 2 weeks ago due to an unexpected family emergency, but I appreciate everybody that came out to present or who provided feedback at that time. I don't have anything to add that hasn't been discussed at length now over the couple months that we've been talking about it, other than I proposed this amendment when I did because I thought it was a simple yet sensible solution to what I saw as a problem with the parking as it was laid out at the time. So I'll be supporting this tonight and hope that others can consider the same. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one question for Ms. Carner. I think one of the things that had come up at the last meeting was we had that kind of the presentation from Alloy 5 about some of the concepts and different kind of potential things that could be done as we see the continuation of this development. And one thing that we've talked about, over and over is how our climate action plan will kind of be integrated into development projects. And I was curious about what our planning department and, economic development folks have done as far as taking a look at that, because that's really where the rubber is going to meet the road as we go forward here, is how many of these principles, concepts that we've talked about in making this development as sustainable as possible, those details are taken care of in the land development process. So what's the kind of like internal work that we have done so far to try to incorporate those principles and those ideas in the climate action plan into our kind of development process internally?
I am going to defer to Caroline on a couple of points, but the inclusion of climate action recommendations are important to us in the city. Before the development, we started to engage the development community on some of those principles, incorporating whether it's solar panels or green roofs or really making sure that there are other design elements that can be incorporated into these structures that are not just good for us, but are benefits to the users. Darlene can talk a little bit about the formalization of that process. That is something that occurs at the land development process and then gets incorporated into the SALDO, so that it is something that we can really obligate or make sure that it is a serious consideration from the development community.
Sure, our office has been a part of the development of the Climate Action Plan, just in our participation in a lot of the different committees and things like that, just like other departments were. We work closely with the EAC. We've been doing that for years, and they do provide comment in addition to our own comments on many of the projects that go through the Planning Commission. So we've been trying to have an awareness of many of the broad aspects that the Climate Action Plan addresses. And it is broad-reaching. Some of it has to do with the building construction, some of it's with the site layouts, even pedestrian safety and bike safety and getting people out of their cars and walking and looking for native plantings and more trees and saving trees. And there's a pretty wide range of things that we try to look at as we go through the land development review process. So we are looking now at formalizing more of those provisions, but we've really been trying to do that on an ongoing basis for the last several years.
I think then, and obviously some of it is going to be things that we are going to recommend or that we're going to push for as a city, and then some of it is going to potentially fall under ordinance changes. I believe to be consistent with our current SALDO, correct?
That's correct. And some of the things fall under land development and some of them fall under building construction and things like that. There's different phases of a project as it moves forward.
Thank you. And I appreciate that, Ms. Eller, and I appreciate that, Ms. Carner. And I think, as I said last time, I think as we move forward, and obviously that takes time to do it well, as far as taking a look at what's in the Climate Action Plan and how we can make that consistent with our own ordinances, and then the things that don't necessarily fit into an ordinance, obviously, as I said before, I think I said at the last meeting, I think it would be wise for us, and I don't know if a checklist or whatever it might be, some type of way for us when we present these large projects as a city and your department is in front of the Planning Commission to be able to kind of go through those, because I think there's a lot of questions. And Ms. Eller, I know that you would spend a lot of time with the Climate Action Plan process, as have a lot of citizens, so I think that one of the things that people are going to want to know, and it can be complicated, but how are we going to necessarily incorporate a lot of those changes there? So thank you for those answers. I appreciate that. And then I'm going to be voting for this tonight, but I just wanted to go back to, I know Councilman Cramsey Smith had talked about the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, and I had done some research and taken a look, and I think one of the things that we've talked about as far as the development of Martin Tower is how the use conversation that we had 7 years ago, which is when we talked about what it was going to be over there, what it wasn't going to be, what people might be scared that it's going to be. A lot of the conversations we had 6-7 years ago really determined what type of use is and the fact that we are dealing with what we have in front of us. And I think it's been everybody's goal here to try to make this as high of a quality of a project as possible, get it back on the tax rolls. We don't want to see it there sitting vacant. We've talked about this many times, that 25 years ago, that project, or that, you know, that Martin Tower and the surrounding buildings were paying $1.5 million in property taxes to three taxing bodies. And obviously we've seen that decline to only a couple thousand dollars. And that money just, you know, becomes aggregated over years and years and years, and we lose out on that revenue. I know for me, as I've watched this process over the past 7 years, one of the things that I've looked at is I've looked at all of those communications that we've had from Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. And one of the ones that we had from November 2015 before, and I believe it was Mr. Evans at the time, had come up with the latest zoning amendments, was the letter that we had received about the changes in the uses that we then approved in response to a lot of public feedback. And one of the things it says here, and I will not read through this, but one of the things that there was a different chair, you know, vice chair, treasurer. Ms. Bradley was executive director then, as she is now. But if you take a look at the November 2015 letter, having to do with the amendments at the time, it says, in short, these revisions, the zoning map and zoning ordinance, do not deviate greatly from the previous proposal, and the ordinance as a whole remains consistent with the county comprehensive plan. The LVBC recognizes that these revisions attempt to reconcile criticism of some of the ordinance's provisions with a sincere effort to return a long vacant tract of land back to economically viable use. So at the time in November and December of 2015, when we're trying to work through how do we necessarily create some type of development there that balances all of the different interests. That was a pretty influential paragraph for me at the time. And obviously the letters that we, you know, some of the communication that we have received now about what the goals are over there, I would say if you take a look at those two letters, aren't exactly consistent as far as the message and the recommendations are concerned. With that being said, I think that everybody shares the same end goal here, is to create the highest quality development there possible. And I think that, you know, with the comments of a few minutes ago from Ms. Heller and Ms. Carner, that, you know, I think as we move forward here, this is obviously a very, very small piece of what we're looking at as far as the total development of the site. So I'm encouraged about what I heard from Alloy 5 and the representatives of the developer a couple of weeks ago. I think it would be wise, as the mayor said before, that the developer stays in contact with Alloy 5 moving forward as far as this development is concerned, and I think that this is the first step, and it's an amendment that I will be supporting tonight for Mr. Colon. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, I also wanted to make a comment. I didn't want to bring it up last meeting, but when Ms. Bradley was making some of her comments at the last meeting, as representative of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, there was a couple of things that I, you know, thought, you know, that needed to be addressed and, you know, corrected. She had said that the surrounding neighbors did not have that parking, and that was untrue. The Salamone St. Luke's building across the street has that, you know, basically the same parking that the developer of this site is. And Ms. Bradley, along with one of the callers, had mentioned that, whether it's, that they were against it because it wasn't, the new wave of transportation is going to be either electric or propane or some type of new technology. I think the one lady even mentioned flying, like the Jetsons. I don't know what she was thinking about, but no matter what mode of power, have, you know, the vehicle propelled under, they still need parking. Whether it's electric vehicle, a gas, propane, a nuclear vehicle, whatever, and no matter how the technology that comes up, or the new technology that comes up to propel the the vehicle, they still need parking. That's basically what this is about. It's the additional parking out front for the patients who are going to be going to this doctor, pavilion. So I just wanted to bring that up, and I thought those comments last week were a little slanted on her side, and I just wanted to correct that, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. It's been a long road to get us where we are this evening. This is kind of the last step for council to move this project forward. Obviously, there's a lot more steps, which Mr. Reynolds alluded to with the plan that the developer will work with the city administration on to get some of those fine points ironed out. But for me, seeing the presentation, and I want to thank the folks at Alloy 5 for putting together that and letting us see what was proposed, really with not many changes from what the developer had brought forward, but just getting a feel for what their intentions are and hearing about how that end use was gonna see what that was gonna look like and feel like. I think that helps solidify the plan in my mind as a positive one, not only for that area of Bethlehem, but as well the entire city and you know, nationally and internationally too, potentially. So I think this is a good project that I'd like to see move forward, and I look forward to development at the site. If the clerk could please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 4-1. Moving to resolutions, resolution 10A.
Now therefore be it resolved on this third day of August 2021 that the City Council of the City of Bethlehem approves and ratifies the intergovernmental cooperation agreement between the City and the Redevelopment Authority attached to the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? The clerk please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Lehigh Valley Business Corporate League for the 2021 LBBCL Softball Tournament at Stockton Park Field on August 20th through the 22nd. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with McCarthy's Irish Pub, Inc. for the Oyster Festival on Walnut Street between Main Street and Gutter Street. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 5-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller, under such other city officials as deemed appropriate, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Steel Pub LLC for the Daniel Roebuck Channel of Peace benefit. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Cologne and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Cologne.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 5-0. New business. Um, 11A. We have a proposed affordable housing LRTA bill discussed at the July 20th Finance Committee meeting. Request for consideration of the proposed bill by full council. I'll turn to Ms. Carner, touching back to the communication that was entered into the record, communication 6D. That memo came forward this week, and I will turn to Ms. Carner and allow her to give her thoughts on that memo as she brings it before council.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on the memo. I very much intended to lay out the case for council, providing some background information on why we use LRTA as a valuable tool here in the city, and what happens when we couple it with another priority, which in this case is affordable housing. There was a lot of talk at the committee meeting around the payment in lieu fee, and a lot of talk about some of the methods, and so I wanted to really just detail when we use one of those methods that we relied heavily on, what those numbers look like. And they are numbers that are a little more than what we had proposed, but I believe because of all of the other considerations and reasons why we use LRTA, there are important factors to consider when setting the fee, but much less than some of the numbers that I heard thrown around at the committee meeting. So LRTA is something that involves tremendous cooperation between the city, the county, and the school district. And typically, the city entertains it first, and then it goes to the school district, and then to the county, and that can be a prolonged process. After the last meeting, with the inability to schedule a committee meeting before, I thought it was important that council reconsider so that we can set on a time frame that's attainable this calendar year. Therefore, the request for this conversation tonight and potentially setting a public meeting date, I thought was important to have.
And can you help us with those parallel timelines with the county and the school district?
Well, we are intending to present to the school district on Monday night at the finance committee meeting. They, like a lot of governmental bodies, like to discuss things in committee meetings. And if city council were to set the public meeting for next week and vote on it, we could potentially have the school district entertain this in September. If that's not the case, we'd be looking at October 25th, I think, is their regularly scheduled meeting, and I couldn't even begin to talk to or get it to the county and through the county committee process until we get through the school district. So there is some sensitivity around, this body acting, I don't want to say quickly, but within a prescribed fashion.
And what are those constraints as far as pushing this out 6 months and why that would be detrimental?
Well, there are development projects that will miss the opportunity of including affordable housing or attaining the payment in lieu of fee, right? So that's the biggest fear. If our goal is really to be able to incentivize affordable housing, whether your goal is for the financial resources to put into other projects or the actual units, there will be development opportunities on these sites that will, I fear, will be developed and they'll be entirely market rate. And that's not going to help what we're trying to accomplish.
Understood. Mr. Callahan, did you have a comment?
No, I don't know why, I don't know why we're rushing this through. I think it should go through, a normal time frame. I would like to talk to some of the school board members also and see what their feelings are about it, and some people from the county also. I'm not sure why the school district would be in favor of giving away their taxes into a development project that's going to bring in more kids into the schools. But it is something I would like to talk to them about, and I don't know why we have to push this through so quick. So that's all. That's my comments.
Mr. Reynolds?
I guess I would just make the same point I had made last time at the committee meeting, was that any potential changes to the fee could be handled at the potential public meeting that we would have. And, we would have to, I believe we would have to pass this twice. Is that correct?
Yeah, so similarly to anytime we do a zoning change, we have a public hearing, or in this case, a public meeting, as well as first and second reading of the ordinance. So the timeline that Ms. Carner has asked us to lay out would be 2 weeks from now, having that public meeting, and in the same evening, have the first reading, followed by second reading at the first meeting in September.
So we had our finance committee meeting last time that Dr. Van Wert and I were here for. Mr. Cologne was not here for the meeting. I would probably defer to Mr. Cologne at this point for any comments he would like to make.
May I?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. So as I alluded to earlier on the Martin Tower vote, I was unexpectedly absent at the committee meeting 2 weeks ago. That being said, I had every intention to support the LRTA ordinance to come to council with a positive recommendation at the time if I would have been there. So I know what we're talking about is it didn't come to council because the support wasn't there at the committee meeting. However, I'm here now and letting everybody know if I would have been there and the vote still shaped up to be what they were at the time, we would have this, we would have had this taken out of committee and move forward. And I'm in favor of, to Ms. Carner's point, trying to be sensitive to the timeline that the administration is trying to work with to get certain development project, to get this moved forward so that it can be taken advantage of or serve its purpose with certain development projects. And I always think if we could use a calendar year as a good kind of baseline to use as a deadline if we want to get this in place for January 1 of 2022, I think that always makes sense. Not to use the term to rush it through. I don't think we're rushing anything through because this is going to still have to go through the hands of the school district and then the county. But if the contention from council or members of council is the dollar amount for that payment, in lieu of, then that's something that can be ironed out and discussed by individual members of council who I'm all ears if anybody wants to have a conversation. But that's if the goal is to change that number, bringing it out of committee, in my opinion, doesn't eliminate that goal. Bringing it out of committee just gets us to where we would have been if I would have been here 2 weeks ago. And then we could still do that work to where we're moving forward at Ms. Carner's request, respectfully, to try to let the administration manage their timeline and when they want to get this before the different taxing bodies that have to review it. And at the same time, because we're going to have two votes, we can have, members of council could have those discussions of what's the number that we're comfortable with, because I know I'm comfortable with, the intent and purpose of what's in front of us. If some of the particulars need to be discussed or changed in a fashion that is the will of council, to move it forward to the next step of the process, like I said, I'm willing to have that conversation and invite anyone on council to reach out to me. But going back to what's before us today, this idea of pulling it out of committee and moving it to full council or scheduling the public hearing, I would support that. Thank you.
Mr.
Yeah.
I just to finish that thought, is the one thing that I wanted to say too is that August is one of those months that has five Tuesdays. So we have the meeting 2 weeks from today, which is August 17th, but then we still, as with something we have to vote on twice, I believe the second meeting is not until September 7th. So that essentially creates with the third, so that creates 35 days to be able to change anything. And like I said, the biggest thing that came up was that potential came in lieu of number and how it affects other parts of the ordinance. So I think that would give us time. And if we had Mr. Cologne had been here last time and we had voted it out, this is probably still the same schedule that would have existed at that point.
We'd probably be having that public hearing this evening.
Yeah, so it's actually going to give more weeks than
having that discussion, if not even having the first reading potentially this evening as well. So this has already slowed the process a bit. It's unusual that we have something that gets stuck in committee where you're unable to have a second for the purposes of pushing it forward to have a fuller discussion with council. Unfortunately, it's kind of stuck in that purgatory now until, if we decide to take an action in order to continue that conversation so that all of council can weigh in and be part of the process. Ms. Gramsci Smith, do you have a comment?
Yes, I'm not a part of the Finance Committee, but I did have comments at that meeting. I just want to clarify some comments. I agree. I mean, contrary to what people may say, I don't want to hold up this development any longer. And contrary to what Councilman Callahan is saying, I think it is, time is of the essence because this has been on the books for a long time. But as I brought up, my concerns at the Finance Committee meeting was I thought $25,000 for a fee in lieu of was pretty low because, as I said, State College gets an average of $129,000. Pittsburgh gets an average of $200,000. It doesn't mean that I'm looking for six figures for a fee in lieu of for every unit. But I spoke with Ms. Carner just to try to get clarification. And what I was trying to say is I think we need to have some standard formula because we have 21 LRTA parcels in the city. And I don't think we can just come up with some figure arbitrarily since we're going to have more LRTA parcels that we're going to be looking at this for. So I think we really need to standardize and have some formula. And I understand where, you got the $25,000, but I also am interested in the fact that you really was looking at the affordability gap index. And with that, you get an amount amount of $42,450 per unit cost. I think I can certainly stomach that. I think that's a much better amount for a fee in lieu of. Because I said at the last meeting, while I understand that, you know, the developers are a challenge right now, and you even mentioned that, you know, they're challenged with high construction costs and everything else, I think I appreciate that. But also, individuals have been equally challenged, if not more so, because of the pandemic, specifically with the rising housing costs and the lack of affordable housing. I mean, if we want to promote the well-being of this community and try to persevere an inclusionary Bethlehem, we have to be assertive to do something about housing that will be multi-income level housing for the well-being of the entire community. And so that's why I think that it's really important that we come up with a figure that will be prudent. And I think the $42,000 certainly is a more prudent figure. So I certainly agree time-wise. I don't think there's any point to go back to the committee because we're going to be back to where we are anyway. We're going to have the votes to come back right back to council. So I'm certainly in favor of moving it forward to the full council. And my hope is that we can negotiate a more reasonable figure.
Yeah, I agree with Ms. Cramsey-Smith that we want to continue the discussion, and we want all of council to weigh in and be able to make motions and argue points. The best way to do that is by bringing it to full council, as opposed to trying to have that more nuanced conversation in committee where you're at the will of those committee members to make those motions. So if this is something that ultimately has to be adopted by full council, I think it's prudent to move it forward and have that conversation on the timeline that Ms. Carner has laid out. In order to do that, we would need a motion to discharge the committee and bring that bill to full council. So that's the process, which requires a motion and a second and a majority vote in order to discharge the review within the committee and bring it to full council. So that would be the process that we would do that. And then the time, and then we would potentially at the next council meeting on the 17th, we would be able to have the public hearing and the first reading of the ordinance. And then, as Mr. Reynolds said, we'd have, you know, 3 more weeks before the second reading in September on the 7th for the first council meeting. So I think it was 35 days from today till adopting of the second, with the second reading, we'd have potential to talk about increasing that the payment in lieu of number that you're talking about. Are there any other questions or thoughts from members of council on that? Mr. Reynolds?
I would just say that I think taking it out of committee also lead to that conversation, because as long as it's just Mr. Cologne, myself, and Dr. Van Wert, like, it's our own, it's 3 of us having ideas. The number obviously is going to be the thing that's going to have the most discussion. So from a operational point of view, the best place to have that conversation would be with all of city council. Because if not, like, say Mr. Cologne and I come up with a number and we don't know how everybody else feels, then we're going to end up having the conversation all over again as far as what the number is for the unit. So
at this point, if there's no other questions or comments, I would accept a motion in a second to discharge the Finance Committee from consideration of the proposed Affordable Housing LRTA bill that was received at the July 20th Finance Committee, and to schedule a public hearing at the count for all of Council on August 17th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Miles, second by Mr. Cologne. The clerk would please call the roll on that motion.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan? Mr. Callahan? Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye.
Passes 4-0. So at this point, the bill will be received by full council and reviewed at the August 17th public hearing. Mr. Fujoni, do we at this point need to schedule a public hearing with a vote, or can that be done through the office?
I mean, we'll handle with the administration, actually, the logistics of scheduling it, but it was just included in the motion you made.
Okay. I wasn't sure we had to do it separately. Okay. So, Ms. Carner, at this point, we'll have that public meeting August 17th and first reading on that same evening.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other new business from members of council? Mr. Cologne?
hope everyone has a safe music fest. It's going to be fun to be back out there. So I'm sure we'll all run into each other, and I hope everybody enjoys themselves and stay safe, and just going to be nice to have everybody back out and about.
Thank you all for joining us. This meeting is adjourned.